Hello, everyone. Come on in to the Zoom call. We're going to get started with office hours. I have my new spectacular whiteboard going on here. I don't know if I've had it. I had my new whiteboard since I did office hours last. Maybe I did. But Betsy and Corinne were making fun of my little whiteboard, so I decided to upgrade. So hopefully I can get everything into the screen like we like it. So this is office hours. I'm here for 2 hours coaching all the things. I invite you, if you'd like to be coached, to go ahead and raise your hand. And that puts you in the queue. If you want to talk to one another, do so in the chat. Make sure you are talking to all panelists and attendees so that everyone sees your comment. If you have a question for me toward the end of office hours, I'll do some questions and you can put them in the Q&A. So, getting myself situated here, let's get started. Allison, you're first. Are you coming on all by? Oh, wow. I didn't have to click anything. And there you were.
It works.
That's amazing. Is Allison correct?
Yes.
Okay. How you doing?
I'm doing good. This is my first call. I started in April.
Okay. Well, welcome.
Thanks.
So what's up?
Well, I was hoping you could work some models with me.
I would love to. I have my whiteboard.
I know. I saw it all ready to go. I have trouble like making decisions, and like I'll decide to do something and then I'll start going into like comparisons and, you know, all that fun stuff, and I'll start spiraling and then I just don't go anywhere from there.
Okay.
Direct, like an exact example would be better.
Yes. Give me an exact example. Give me a situation.
I'm an artist.
Okay.
And I'm just now starting to get to a point where I want to like show my art, and I'll get to a point where I'm just, well, I don't know, looking at different places to go show it or do like a show or whatever. And then I'll start looking at other people who do stuff like mine. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, I'll start being like, oh, well, they do it better. Or maybe I just don't have enough stuff. So maybe I shouldn't even go until I produce more. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's enough.
Well, let's do this. So it looks like your action line is to compare, right? Mm-hmm. All right. So when you're comparing to other people, let's just do a quick model overview. You can start the model anywhere in the model. You don't have to start at the top.
Okay.
So you just gave me a little teeny tiny thought download. It was like 3 or 4 sentences, right? I could have asked you more, but we'll start here and I'll ask you questions that'll help us develop the model. Okay.
Okay.
One of the beautiful things I love about the model is the way that the different lines interrelate. So you can start on any line and just ask yourself a question that moves you into another line. Okay. So, what you said was you're thinking, you're an artist, you're thinking about having a show, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then you start comparing and then it leads you to indecision.
Yes.
Right? Okay. So we know that your action is compare, but you haven't told me yet what you're thinking and feeling that creates that action.
Okay.
Okay. So why are you comparing to other people? What are you finding when you compare to other people?
Well, initially it starts out as, because I'm fairly new to it, like I don't know exactly what to start charging and stuff. And okay. So initially I'm going out just to do research and see like, okay, what are price points I should go for?
Okay.
And that's the initial like reason for going out and looking. And then, yeah, it leads to like, oh, well, there's so many people who do stuff like this, or, you know.
Okay, so we have two models. The first one is research. Art show research, okay? Your feeling is curious. And your action is to look at all the things. Right?
Yeah.
Your thought is probably, I want to learn how to do this. I want to learn how to do a show. Right?
Yes.
To do a show. Okay. Which leads you to curious, which leads you to this action of looking at all the things. And this is where your model goes bad. Because this is where you go into compare, right? And you don't finish the model. You start, you change, and you hop to another model. Because if you didn't hit this, your R line would be, I'm learning how to build a show.
Okay.
Right? You'd feel pretty good about it. You know, you'd come back with all your data, and you'd have all your things. Except you stop your model here, and you're like, oh, no. This is no good, right? So we have to get out of this model and go to the one where you have compare, and not in a friendly way in your action line. So what are you, when you go into these other shows and you're looking at what they're charging and how much stuff they have and how it's displayed and all that kind of stuff, what are you thinking about yourself?
I guess that I'm just not, that I haven't put in enough effort and I'm slacking, I guess.
Oh, okay. I haven't put in enough effort. Okay. And when you, can you see all that?
Yeah.
Okay. When you think that thought, I haven't put in enough effort, how does that make you feel?
I guess kind of down, dispirited.
Dispirited. That's a good one. Okay. Is that what you said? Dispirited?
Okay.
When you feel dispirited, what do?
Nothing.
Nothing. Nothing. We call that inaction. You get in your head, you compare yourself to everybody else. You don't really do a whole lot of anything productive, which leads to what result?
I don't pick a show and I don't do something.
No effort, right? No, no show, no product, no nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Right? There's your model.
Okay.
Okay. So let me ask you this question. Is this thought true? I haven't put in enough effort.
I don't know. That's a pretty generic thought, I guess.
What do you mean by that?
It all depends on somebody's perspective, I guess. Yeah. I don't know.
Let me ask you this. How many pieces of art do you have ready for a show? Just roughly.
Roughly, I don't know, 20.
Okay. Maybe? If you came to my house and I had 20 pieces of art lined up and I said, Allison, I'm thinking about having a show, would you say, I don't know, Kathy, you hadn't put in enough effort?
No.
No, you wouldn't, right?
Mm.
So why are you telling yourself that? Why do you think you're stuck in this model?
I have a hard time letting myself have done enough.
Why?
I have perfection issues.
What does that mean?
I don't know. What does that mean?
What does that mean to you? If you have perfection issues around running this art show, what does that mean for you? Other than I haven't put in enough effort, what does that mean?
I'm afraid of criticism.
That's the problem. Mm-hmm. It's not the effort. It's not the compare. It's the I'm afraid of criticism. So let me ask you this. As an artist, do you believe everyone will always love your art?
No.
Yeah. Artists are very niched, right? You have a particular style, a particular color scheme, a particular something, right? Mm-hmm. That is very, very personal to you, right? I might love your art and I might be like, well, that's nice. I haven't seen it, so I can't, but it doesn't matter. My opinion doesn't matter. When you do your show, it's your opinion. Or when you prep for your show, it's your opinion or your thought that matters. And if you're afraid of criticism, how's that going to feel?
Being afraid of criticism?
Mm-hmm.
Feels paralyzing.
Paralyzing. You see where this model's going to?
Mm-hmm.
When you feel paralyzed, what are you doing?
Nothing.
Nothing again.
Mm-hmm.
And your result is you don't get any criticism. Right?
Own.
So again, we're in another self-fulfilling prophecy here.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you think you get out of this?
I just do it.
We call that Nike, right?
Nike. Yeah.
So if you just do it back in your action line, no matter what, feeling do you have to gin up?
Determination.
Okay. I would offer you curiosity, open. Mm. You don't have to go straight to, by golly, I'm doing this, because that almost sounds like white knuckling it for you, right?
Yeah.
I'm going to do it, but I'm scared to death.
Right.
But we'll go with determination. What's the thought?
Let's just see what happens.
You think you can get yourself there without being paralyzed?
Maybe. I just say with the more like this being all written out, like it kind of feels a little bit like my weight loss journey. Because
really?
I think a little bit, yeah.
Isn't it funny? It is.
It all kind of connects, right, with our personalities and how we handle different stressors.
What we generally see is what you do in one area of your life, you're likely doing in other areas. So okay. if you are avoiding criticism, whether it's from people looking at your art or from yourself, you're mm-hmm. going to shy away.
Yeah.
Right?
I have a tendency to.
Yeah. So if you don't really dive deep into your weight loss and see what happens, then you're avoiding self-criticism.
Mm-hmm.
You're avoiding your own beatdown.
Right.
Makes sense, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. It does. Mm-hmm. And I just recently have been getting to that point of the, let's just see what happens with the weight loss journey and being more curious and trying different things to see what works.
That's what this action line should be. It should be try a small show, try a big show, have a show with someone else, show in someone's gallery, show at a flea market, set up a booth some in the mall, whatever it is, you just keep trying things until you find what sticks with you, what lands with you, and what produces for you. It's just like planning your 24-hour plan. Well, today maybe I'll try chicken salad. Tomorrow I might try chili. The next day I might try, you know, steak and potatoes. Let's just see what feels good in my body. And eventually you find what lands. It's all, you know, life, this whole thing, weight loss, art shows, it's all experimentation. You know, nobody gives us a rule book on life, right? Or on, and Corinne certainly doesn't give you one on weight loss because she expects you to create your own rule book. That's what the protocol is. You know, I can tell you, you know, you should eat chicken and potatoes every day. Well, what if you don't like chicken? That's not going to work for you. You'd rather have, you know, pork. I don't know. Or maybe you're allergic to chicken. That's not going to work for you. Same thing with your art show. You're just going to have to try different things. And you're going to have to remove your own self-judgment and be open and honest with yourself about what you like, what works, what doesn't work, who your audience should be, all those things. That's all the stuff that goes in this action line for you.
Okay. That makes sense.
Does that make sense?
It does.
So what's going to move you into action to doing something like this?
I've honestly kind of picked out an idea that I'm wanting to try, and I just need to reach out to the people and see.
Okay. So let's do one more model.
Okay.
All right. And our action is going to be reach out. Mm-hmm. That's all. We're not having a show. We're just reaching out. Mm-hmm. What feeling do you need to do this reach out?
I guess curiosity.
Curiosity? Mm-hmm. Do you need a little courage too?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Let's put courage there. Just for fun. Because that's what I sense in you. You're just a little bit. Okay, I'm going to have to sum it up a little bit of courage.
Yeah.
What thought brings courage?
I can do this. I don't know.
I'm worth the work. I can do this. It's just a phone call. My art is spectacular. I don't know. Something like that, right? So if you said, I can do this, you summon up some courage, you reach out, and your result is that you have your first answer. Okay? Mm-hmm. That just springboards you into the next model that may or may not require courage. So this is step one. Mm-hmm. You know, step two will be based on whatever your answer was from that first reach out.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
All right. What else you got? Anything else?
No, I think that answered it. It's all connected to that.
It really is. It is for all of us. Sometimes for some people, it is easier to summon courage than others. And in some cases, summoning courage is, you know, for you, it might be super easy to summon up courage to, you know, get out of bed in the morning, but it's not to do this reach out. Mm-hmm. So courage is an amazing feeling, I think. Being brave is an amazing feeling. But sometimes it takes us getting out of our own way to experience it.
Yeah, for sure. Okay.
Okay. Anything
yeah, else? Thank you. You're no, welcome. I think that was great. I really appreciate it.
You're very welcome. I love working the model. It makes me happy. It makes me happy. I'm very curious to hear how it goes and to see what we have. There are several artists in the tribe.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. It would be cool if you want some pointers. We have some that have galleries, some that just paint in their home, some that have shows. I think I'd just post in the Facebook group and see what they can offer you.
Okay. I'll do that.
Yeah. That sound good?
Yeah. That sounds great.
All right.
Thank you.
Take care.
You too.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
Kim, you're next. Let's see if you come on automatically. Huh, that's so cool. I don't have to click anything. Hi, how are you?
I'm okay. A little nervous. This is my first call as well.
So. Oh my gosh, all these first callers. See, Allison's was a good call. I didn't yell or scream, and I usually don't anyway, right?
It was a good call, and it actually...
Lecture? Didn't do any of that stuff.
Not at all, no. And it kind of helped me a little bit as well. So I think her and I might be a little bit similar in some respects.
Okay. So what's on your mind?
My concern, okay, for a bit of background, I'm a hospice nurse. And lately, I've had quite a few patients pass away. Mm-hmm. And before they've passed away lately, they've been telling me a lot of things they wish they had done differently in their lives. Mm-hmm. And their regrets. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure it's because of that that's got me thinking a lot. But the thing that really scared me was two nights ago, I woke up at 3 o'clock in the morning out of a dead sleep. And as soon as I opened my eyes, my thought was, you're wasting your life.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, that gets you thinking about all sorts of areas of your life. And it just, I'm trying to figure out where to go from here with it, basically.
Well, do you believe you're wasting your life?
No, not my full life. I think there's areas that I need to work on. Which I think everybody does, I'm sure. I mean, I think everybody probably thinks that about themselves. I know I have a good relationship with my family, with my husband and my kids, but you always wish it could be a little stronger. They're still young, my kids, and you want to know what's going to happen when they get older. So am I doing enough? I think it's a lot of those thoughts. And then food goes in with that as well. I'm an April baby, and I've been, since joining the tribe, struggling with the same, probably 8 pounds, basically, up and down. So that really, am I doing enough for my health? So
that's your thought that's bugging you. It's not necessarily you're wasting your life. I think that's a manifestation of, am I doing enough? And that's, we usually don't say, questions or thoughts. So I want to be real careful about that. But you just told me, if you were to list, I'm going to take my model off of here for now. If you were to list all the areas, you question whether or not you're doing enough,
mm-hmm.
What would they be?
Family relationships.
Okay. What else?
Health and weight loss.
Okay. What else?
I think relationships with, like, not my immediate family, but like, sister, parents, that type of thing as well.
Okay. What else?
I have like unfinished projects that I didn't do, like family photo albums, type things like that.
Okay. Anything else?
Not that I can think of right now.
All right. So that's four areas. And this is immediate family, right?
Yes.
All right. The reason I listed these out is because I have a go-to thought that I am not good enough. Okay. And that word enough is so telling. And so based on your perspective, your opinion of what enough really means. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to ask you, how many kids do you have?
Two.
How old are they?
9 and 11.
It's a fun age. They're all fun ages though.
That is a good age.
are you a good enough mom?
Yes.
Okay. So this is not true. Am I being enough? Well, the answer here is yes. So am I enough? Okay. The answer here is yes. Right? Because you just told me you were.
Yeah.
Weight loss. Health. You pretty healthy?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm overall fairly healthy. I'm not on any medicine, nothing okay. like that.
When did you start PMP?
April.
How much weight have you lost?
Like I said, it's been about 8 pounds up and down.
What does that mean? 8 pounds up and down. You're going back and forth among that 8 pounds?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So are you doing enough in the weight loss department?
Probably not. Okay. I don't feel I am.
So this is a no. And what about these other relationships with your sister and your cousins and whoever else you mentioned? I don't think you said cousins, but
that's okay. Sister. Yeah. Yeah. I feel like I can reach out to her more often than I do.
But do you do a pretty good job right now?
Not too bad. Yeah.
Okay. So is your relationship, do you get along well?
Oh yeah.
Happy definitely. To hear from you. Yeah.
Yep.
So, okay.
Yep.
So,
not as often as I think it should be. All right. I see a trend here.
Yeah. Yeah. And then the projects. Mm-hmm. How important are these projects to living a full life?
They're not important to living a full life. It's more the kids' school books. It's the family photo albums, and that's something I want them to have around for later mm-hmm. in life mm-hmm. when they get older. That's my concern with that one.
Okay,
it's not
so it's
for
something
me, for them.
No, it's for you. It's for you.
Probably.
It's something that you want to gift them. So it's something yes. that you want to put together. You don't know if they're going to want to receive it or not, but it's something that you want to do. I tell you, when my kids went to college, I created these awesome recipe books for them. Hand wrote the recipes because I knew that was going to be exactly, they were going to look back one day and went, my mama hand wrote that macaroni and cheese recipe and I've got it in this book and it's right here and it's so special to me. I have no idea where those books are. I haven't seen them on their shelves. I haven't, not one thing. And I'm going to tell you something. There were a lot of recipe cards written.
It was a lot of work.
There was a lot of work. I'm sure they appreciated it, but I got a lot out of doing it. And that's, so it was for me. It was something, it was a gift that I created for them. And so my model had me in the result line. I loved giving the gift, right?
Mm-hmm.
So are you doing enough on the projects from your kids' perspective? Probably yes. From your perspective, maybe no.
Yeah.
So what do you think all this means?
That it's all in the way I'm seeing it.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly right. So if we were to do the model, and the result line would be your perspective, or the thought line would be your perspective about all this. Your husband's perspective might be different. Your kid's perspective might be different. But you're choosing to question whether or not you're enough and to say, I'm not good enough in the weight loss area, the project area. You're not gaining weight. You're not any more weight than you were. Are you planning? Are you planning most days, every day?
The past 2 weeks, well, week and a half, I've only done probably three. I did again today.
Okay. So you skipped some days, but you got back on.
Yes.
You came to coaching.
Yes.
Right? What else? If you were the only person in the tribe, when mm-hmm. somebody posted this great big long thing that said, I've fallen off the wagon. I don't know what to do. I don't know if I'm doing enough. What would you tell them to do? What's the one thing you would tell them to do to get back up?
Take the next best step.
Yeah. Write a plan. Mm-hmm. Hey, how about some coaching? Office hours is tonight. So maybe right now your weight loss is enough. Today it is because you wrote a plan and you asked for coaching.
Okay.
See how the perspective... It's all in your perspective and in how hard you are on yourself and what you expect out of yourself.
I think I'm very hard on myself.
I think that's probably more the problem than anything else. Because if you're questioning, am I enough? Am I doing enough? Am I wasting my life? Then you're being pretty hard on yourself. Because I bet if you were to look at your day today and how you showed up, how many clients did you see? How many patients did you see today?
5.
So you offered 5 terminally ill people comfort today,
mm-hmm.
right? Did you make your kids' lunches? and they make them off to school. They make their
own to school.
I'm sure you made sure they had a lunch.
Oh, yes, definitely. You
probably looked over them, made sure everything was packed.
Yeah.
You going to fix dinner tonight?
Yep.
Yeah. You're going to do all the things that you think you need to do to show up as the mom and the mm-hmm. wife today, right? And the hospice nurse.
Yeah.
Is that enough?
Yeah, I guess it is.
I guess you can decide it is.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
So I'm going to be on this call tonight for 2 hours. Let's say I coach about, I don't know, 8 or 9 people. Is that enough?
Yes. Definitely.
That's your perspective, right?
Right.
What if Corinne says, Kathy, I want you to get through 12 people in 2 hours? I'll be like, okay, that'd be some turbo jam coaching, but okay.
That would be quick.
But no, seriously, you know, enough is very subjective and you get to decide what it means.
Okay.
Okay. This is the work I do too. A lot of times what we think is enough is defined by someone else. Like Corinne and her 12 people on the office hours, right? Mm-hmm. She hasn't told me that. I don't want anyone to think she's told me that because I'm just, you know, spouting stuff off here. But what it boils down to is how I show up and how many people I can get through with quality coaching is what I decide is enough. How I show up is what I decide. I decide is enough. Okay, so you get to decide in all these areas if it's enough. And if you decide you want to do a little bit more, there's nothing wrong with that. As long as you're not going, well, you sure are a sorry sister. You should show up and call your sister more often. Right? That's mm-hmm. where it goes wrong. But if you're like, you know, I'd really like to talk to my sister more often. I think I'll give her a call. There's nothing wrong with that.
Okay.
Does this help?
It does. It does. It's just the little projects that I have to get to. And I know I need to do it. And I just have to, I think, make the plan to start doing it.
The little projects for your kids, the photo albums and stuff.
Yeah. Those are big for me. Yeah. They might not be for them later.
Well, and they may or may not be. I sure didn't mean to infer that they wouldn't be.
No.
But if it's important to you, then you should make time for it. You should schedule time for it. I have a book I really want to read. I block 2 hours tomorrow in the morning before I ever start work just to read my book.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, that's what you need to do. You need to say, this is my non-negotiable time that I'm going to use for me. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, creates a feeling of ownership of the time. Mm-hmm. And you do the work.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Mm-hmm. I do make time for myself for other things. Self-development and stuff, but
yeah,
to block time for that, I think, is what I need to be doing right now. So
sometimes it's a choice. Sometimes you only have 2 hours. You have to decide, or an hour. You have to decide what you're going to put in there, what's most important to you. Just make sure you're making the choice that feels good.
I will do that.
Okay.
All right. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. See you later.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Tiffany, you're next. Then Cindy.
Hi, can you hear me?
I can. I'm looking to see if your video is going to come on. Let's see if this helps. Here you go. There you are. Yep. Hi.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good.
What's up?
I'm a September baby, and I was a groupie for a couple months before I started. Very successful. I down almost 35 pounds. I'm really good about making my 24-hour plan. I do it religiously every night. I'm really looking into your No Sugar, No Flour program, and I just had a few questions about that.
Okay.
I've been listening to the... I printed off the workbooks. I've went through those. And then I also have been listening to the podcasts. One of the things that Corinne mentioned is like how to tell if that would be a good program for you.
Yep.
And I think when she goes through them, I'm like, check, check, check.
So tell me why it's a good program for you.
Well, I am one of those people like all of us here, fought my weight my entire life. And sweets have always been a big thing. I feel like I crave them pretty much consistently. I also have some sleep issues. Like I seem like I sleep good all night, but then throughout the day, I just start dragging. I have had some instances even with the doctor after I had my first baby. I made it a point to get really healthy. We ate very clean, low fat protein, not low fat, but good proteins, ate very clean, and I still had issues kind of maintaining my weight and losing my weight. At one of my doctor's visits, normal physical visits, we talked a lot about my diet, and he was like, you know, you just might be one of those people that have no flexibility in what they eat. So in listening to a lot of the stuff that Corinne's provided us, well, maybe no sugar, no flour would be a good thing for me. So I guess I'm kind of wondering, like, am I biting off more than I can chew? Mm-hmm. Am I going to get overwhelmed? And since I am kind of new at this, being a September baby, does it sound like I'm a good candidate for that type of
program? Let me ask you a few questions.
Yeah.
Are you planning and assessing every day?
I am planning every day. Mm-hmm. I assess every day. I'm not super great about journaling.
Okay. You mean like thought downloading and stuff?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Are you following your hunger scale?
Yes. I feel like yes.
Okay.
I would be confident saying yes.
All right. How much weight are you? You said you've lost 35 pounds. How much weight have you lost since you started? So we're talking about 2.5 months, about 10 weeks.
I'm probably down about 12 since I became a full-time member.
Okay. So a little more than a pound a week, right?
Yep.
Why would you want to change anything? Are you planning exceptions?
Yes, I do.
Okay. What do you plan for, like cookies or candy, or what do you plan? French fries?
Usually, Friday nights, I mm-hmm. plan a half of a thing of like Halo ice cream. Mm-hmm. I don't do a whole lot. I try and avoid like a lot of cookies and stuff just because mm-hmm. I know it's not good, and I know it's still like pre-diet or, you know, diet mentality of like if I don't trust myself around them yet.
Okay.
But like I'll do Kodiak pancakes. I like the peanut butter Kodiak pancakes. So on the weekends I'll do Kodiak pancakes as like a joy meal or an exception.
Why do you call that an exception?
Because it's not something I would typically have.
Okay.
I guess, you know, now that I'm thinking about it, I don't really plan a lot of exceptions. My Halo ice cream on Friday nights is about it.
Yeah. So I think it's okay if you don't plan exceptions. I don't want you to be afraid of them.
Yeah.
I think you should experiment with them a little bit. I don't know that you know, if you're losing more than a pound a week, I don't know that you need to go more restrictive. And that's what no sugar, no flour is. It's really, really geared toward people who, like for me, I noticed that it helped my inflammation, you know, from arthritis. So any kind of inflammatory anything, it could be a help to. But you have to be in the right mindset for no sugar, no flour. You have to be ready to be in a more restrictive mindset. And if it's not medically necessary or gives you any positive in that realm, I don't know that it's really super necessary for you. I think what's necessary for you is to experiment a little bit with planning exceptions. I don't know that a Kodiak pancake is an exception. When I used to eat them, that'd be breakfast. I used to cook up 4 or 5 of them, and I'd put them in individual baggies, and I'd take them to work, and I'd put peanut butter on them and roll a banana up and have like a banana taco with my Kodiak pancake. That would be breakfast.
That's awesome.
I mean, it's like a protein pancake, right?
Yes.
It's just, you know, it's not like I was throwing a lot of butter and syrup and stuff on it. If I did that, I might call it an exception, but I was eating it in a healthy way. So I don't know that you know, I guess it's up to you as to whether or not you call it an exception.
Okay.
But I don't know that you have to. Corinne eats them. She's, I mean, I'm sometimes over there in the morning and she makes herself a pancake and she eats it dry though. I guess, I mean, whatever makes you float your boat, I suppose.
Yeah.
Now, no sugar, no flour is not a bad course at all. And I don't want you to think it is. If it's something you want to try, you can certainly do so, but it is not necessary for most people to go no sugar, no flour. It's not something that's really super necessary.
So, okay. If someone were to go that route, I'm not saying I'm going to after this conversation, I probably will. But, if later in my journey, I decide to try that, is the joy food, can that include sugar and flour? Like, is it something that it's an all or nothing kind of program?
No, you can, what I would suggest is that before you start anything, no sugar, no flour related, I would read the Obesity Code by Jason Fung. Okay. That's going to be a super, super good resource for you. When I first did no sugar, no flour, I did plan exceptions. What happens is you become very aware at, you know, how a cookie affects you if you haven't had a cookie in a month. You know, like if you get rid of all the sugar and flour in your diet and you have a cookie, it tastes funny. It's like super sweet and it got me all jittery and all that kind of stuff. So you can still plan it. You just become more aware of its effect on you, basically, if you're not used to having that kind of thing in your diet.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yes. So, yes, it does.
But that's what I would definitely do is, I think I'd read the book first. I'd read the Obesity Code. That's where Corinne pulled a lot of her information from that. And I think she would probably suggest that you do that first, just to make sure that's the route you want to go in your weight loss. But like I said, I lost my weight at 1 pound a week and I was super happy about it. And if that's what you're doing, I don't see a whole lot of reason to change it and go more restrictive.
Okay. Yeah. I'm definitely, fighting some of those, past diet mentalities and, fighting with my thoughts on the scale. And I do some downloads regarding my thoughts with the scale. Cause I had lost a bunch of weight after my first baby and got real healthy, like I said. And I mean, I maintained that for a really long time, had the second baby. And I think I had maybe some like post-pregnancy emotional stuff happening, and I gained a bunch of that weight back. Mm-hmm. And I guess I need to keep working on the thought download part too about being okay with 1 pound a week being enough.
That's the problem.
Yeah.
The question is not, should I go no sugar, no flour? Because, you know, that seems like I'm a good candidate for it. It's, will it speed my weight loss? And I'm going to tell you the answer might be no.
Okay.
You know, no sugar, no flour is not the ticket to fast weight loss. Especially if it's not something you're going to do the rest of your life.
See, and that's where I keep fighting. I don't think it is something I would do for the rest of my life. I don't do a whole lot of sugar and flour as it is. Mm-hmm. So I feel like I'm just kind of beating around the bush on, well, is 1 pound a week enough? And of course it's enough. Like,
yes,
it's fine. It's great. I mean, it's wonderful. So I just need to keep working on my thoughts.
That's the issue, is wrapping your brain around the fact that you're losing 1 pound a week rather than 14 pounds a week or whatever your expectation is.
Yeah.
Just remember that the habits that you're creating right now are the ones that you can do the rest of your life. You know, I've been making a daily plan for like 6 years now, and I feel lost without it. That's how strong the habit is. And that's how much benefit I see from it. Same thing with the hunger scale. I hate being overfull. I do it to myself every now and then, and I'm like, why in the world did you not stop? You know,
I've noticed that a lot over the last month. It's like, I've only had a few meals, but it's like, oh goodness, why did you do that?
And it's like, how did I do this every day? Right. That's the stuff. I can tell when I don't have my water. I can tell when I don't have my sleep. Those four things are what you can do the rest of your life. Easily. No sugar, no flour. maybe not.
I feel a whole lot better about not doing it after this call. Like, I felt like I was kind of pressuring myself into trying it. And just after this call, it's just reassurance that I am doing the right things with the 24-hour plan. And I'm very committed to the water. And I got two little kids, so I'm still working on the sleep part.
Yeah.
I'm sure that'll come with a change of season in my life. But I'm just, I feel a lot better about what I'm doing is enough. And it's keep pressing on.
That's right. You get to decide, just like I told Kim. You get to decide what enough is.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Bye.
Have a good day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Cindy, you're next. And then Julie. Looking to see if it's going to... So weird. Zoom is so weird. Is your video coming? Oh, there you are.
There you go.
Hi.
Hi. I'm pretty excited about getting on here with the switch in the coaching calls and my work schedule. I can no longer get on with you and Betsy. So for
You're here. You're here.
I know. I'm on vacation. So
So do you usually work Wednesday nights?
Yeah, I do. So Yeah, and I have Saturday mornings and every other Tuesday evening. But anyways, it's
my day. Oh, wow. That was funny. Yeah. It was exactly right for you then, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, we're trying this out for the winter schedule just to see how it works.
Well, the one thing I know since joining the tribe in April is that Corinne's always mixing it up. So if this doesn't work, it'll change. I know that.
Sure. You are exactly right. And that's for those of us that are used to regimented rules and stuff, that can be a little disconcerting at first until you wrap your brain around the fact that all she's doing is trying to find the right balance at the right time.
Yeah.
And so I'm actually kind of excited that it's Wednesday night now, office hours, because Tuesday night is my favorite TV show. So, yay. I can watch it live now.
Well, I'm glad that's working for you.
Yeah, well, it'll work for a few weeks anyway. Then who knows? Maybe we'll change it up again. So what can I help you with tonight?
So the reason I wanted to jump on is I've coming back from camp, I've had a real devil of a time with my food and staying on plan. Okay. And prior to camp, I had lost 65 pounds since the end of January. And I was just religious about writing my plan down, following it, and assessing it. Mm-hmm. And I can't tell you how many overeats and off-plan eats I didn't have because I just say, nope, it's not on my plan. You can wait till tomorrow. So it started with Saturday night. I ended up eating at the camp, I ended up eating gluten and sugar. It's funny that the other caller was considering no flour, no sugar, because I've been following it for the last 9 months. Mm-hmm. And I had alcohol. And then things were a little teetering before camp. I was getting a little loose about writing things down. I also had an ambitious goal of hitting Wonderland by camp. And so that focused goal kind of kept me on track in terms of not overeating. So so what I'm noticing is more than anything else is the rationalization of when something comes up about eating off plan, that I respond to it more than I resist it or, say, no, that's, I'm not committed to that. And so far, what I've been able to figure out is I feel like in the tail stretch of trying to hit Wonderland, I was probably feeling a bit deprived. And so I think that might be part of what's going on. I also have lost a lot of weight and feeling like I kind of want to like just maintain for a couple months or lose it very slowly so I can get used to it. So those are two of the things I've kind of identified. But really what I care about the most, Kathy, is just getting my mojo back. You know, that really you know, I don't know, when I started as a groupie, and then certainly when I joined in April, the two compelling reasons was I didn't want to quit on myself. And I kept saying to myself, I'm all in, I'm all in. And I don't feel as all in, like intellectually I do, but in my heart, I can feel myself resisting. So that's what I'd like some help with is, I'm sure you've encountered this before, but I just want to get on the fast track of getting some consistency. Now I've written my plan today and yesterday. I followed my plan. A really tricky part for me is making sure I stay on my no flour, no sugar protocol because of the cravings that it brings up. It just makes it a lot easier for me not to overeat. And but now when I go off plan or I'm overeating, I'm kind of binging on like nuts and things that don't have flour, no sugar, but they're still kind of trigger foods for me.
Yeah. So no sugar, no flour is not the answer, right? If you're overeating and you're overeating, you know, stuff that's not flour and sugar, we can kind of set that aside. You know, your protocol is your protocol. You get to decide what you're going to eat, what you're not going to eat, what's going to go on your plan and what's not going to go on your plan.
Yeah.
So are your plans realistic for where you are today? Here's something that's so important.
Okay.
If you're coming off a little bit of complacency, a few thoughts that, oh, maybe I should just maintain for a little while, you're not going to be creating the same plans that you created when you were in it 100%.
Okay.
Okay. I think that's super key. And here's why. Let's say you haven't created and followed a plan in a month.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You have to meet yourself where you are today and work your way back to where you were.
Okay.
And be okay with that. Because essentially what you've done is decided after camp to maintain for a little while. You basically said that, I'll be okay maintaining, right? Which probably in itself wasn't a helpful thought.
Okay.
It's almost like a competing priority. I want to be under 200 or I want to hit, right? I want to hit Wonderland, but I also don't want to work real hard. I'm okay with maintaining. So
I did hit Wonderland before camp.
Did you? Good. Yes. Good. Okay. But do you see my point though, right? I'd like to lose some more weight, but I'm really okay maintaining.
Okay.
So your brain might be having this conversation, but it's going to do whatever is easier. And the maintenance is definitely going to be easier, which opens the door for overeating the nuts. And maybe we'll skip today's plan. And, oh, you know, maybe we just won't have our water either or whatever it is. You know, mm-hmm. That's when the complacency comes in. So how do you get out of that? You have to recommit to yourself by doing realistic plans. Okay. So for instance, what have you said you made a plan for today. Have you followed it?
Mm-hmm.
What was your plan for today?
So for breakfast, I went out and I just put on there no flour, no sugar, eat to my two. And had an omelet. But the thing that I did have that I normally wouldn't is I ended up having some of the hash browns, not hash browns, but the other thing, you know, the potatoes.
Okay.
And
Did you eat to your two?
Piece of gluten-free toast. Yeah, I ate to my two and I took half of it home for tomorrow. So that's an example of something I wouldn't have done before.
Okay, so you're not really no sugar, no flour if you're eating gluten-free toast. You're gluten-free and no sugar, right? Gluten-free and low sugar. Okay, just semantics there. That's basically what I do as well. I allow a little bit of flour, but just not gluten flour because of my arthritis. So, okay, so breakfast was on plan, right? And what was lunch?
It was a curry chicken salad and then a artichoke feta kale salad. And I brought that with me and I ate to my two as well.
Okay. And then did you have a snack today?
No.
And what's dinner going to be?
It all depends on whether or not I'm hungry because I ate my lunch late. And more often than not, I'm a two-meal-a-day person just because my hunger really drops down when I'm off of gluten and sugar after a while.
Yeah. So your hunger, your cravings react pretty strongly to
that
stuff.
Yeah.
And some people do and some people don't. So, so your plan must have been realistic for you today.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So
and I do have a dinner on my plan if I do get hungry. Mm-hmm. So that was, I always try to put a dinner or snack if I do have more hunger for the day than normal.
Did any of that feel hard today?
No.
Okay. So basically, you nailed today. You just decide you're going to get up, you're going to make a plan, you're going to do the same thing tomorrow. And you rebuild that commitment. You just, when it starts to feel hard again, you just keep showing up. Right? Mm-hmm. Just like you did 9 months ago or 8 or 9 months ago when you joined. Right? Yeah. That's all you do. You just, to get back on plan or back on the wagon or whatever, you know, I guess Corinne did a thing lately where there is no wagon and all that stuff. That's all you do. You just start making those decisions one at a time again.
And so, okay, I'm sorry, go ahead.
That's okay. And the recommitment begins to happen. You know, when you make your plan for you was realistic. It might not be realistic for me or for someone else, but for you, it was realistic. It felt right. Did you plan any nuts or anything today?
No. What I did was actually committed to my Camp Marco Polo group not to eat nuts while I'm up here because the event that I'm going to, there would probably be eating a lot of nuts during snacks. I've done this before. And nuts are like, they're kind of like crack for me. Once I get started, I can have them on like salads and stuff, but if I have a bag of them around, I've not had the experience of just eating them
So it's not something you keep in the house then?
No.
Or keep with you or whatever?
No, I'm going to have a salad. I already planned my meals for tomorrow and it has nuts on it, but I'll go to the store and get just, you know, that much so that I don't overeat on them. So
and I think that's fine. If you know you have a tendency to overeat a certain food, Corinne talks about that. She doesn't keep big bags of nuts at her house either. I think that's okay. It's your own constraint that you put on what you keep in your pantry.
So, Kathy, one other thing, and this is probably the underlying fear amongst all of this, based on what I've observed in the last month and as well as my history, it's sort of like once Pandora's box gets open that, like, say I have 3 days of following plan. If once I go off or I have an overeat, my brain just really starts rationalizing and then I feel defeated. So I was wondering if, yeah, good. I love the model that's going to fix that.
Paraphrased your thought. Once I go off, it's done. Defeated.
Okay. Let me read this here.
This is a thought. It's a thought. It's not a fact. Okay? Let that sink in. Because you've gone off plan before and gotten right back on, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. You don't lose 65 pounds by going off plan and it being done. Because you've gotten back on. Because you've gone off plan before now.
Before today? Or before camp?
Before any time. I mean, think about it. You said you joined in January?
Yeah, I did.
How many times do you think, if you had to guess, since January, how many times do you think you've gone off plan?
In terms of not circumstantial, but legitimately just kind of...
You just had to do a recovery worksheet because, just because, you know, an opportunity to do a recovery worksheet.
Seriously, less than 4 times a month.
Okay, so 4 times, once a week for the past 10 months, that's about 40 times.
Mm-hmm.
So should that go in the C line? No, because you've gotten back on plan 40 times. If you've gone off plan 40 times, that means you were on plan 40 times. So this is a thought. Once I go off, it's done.
Okay.
See what I'm saying?
Yep.
This is actually a thought your primal brain gives you so that you don't have to do any more work. We'll just take a few days off and eat some nuts. Everything will be fine. That's easy. That's what your primal brain wants, is easy, 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 because it wants to focus all its energy on keeping your heart and lungs going. So your model is, once I go off, it's done, defeated, and you eat all the things, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the result is that you stay off plan. Because it's done. Right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So what we want to do is say, no, we get back on plan. The result is back on plan when we go off. So we're still gonna keep the circumstance as off plan, but we're gonna figure out how to get back on plan.
Oh, so you're starting with the result and not the other three. Okay.
Yeah. I love starting with the result because many times we know what we want this R to be.
Okay. It
could be have an art show, lose some weight, get back on plan. For me, it's, you know, get whatever task done that needs to get done, something like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you have get back on plan in your result line, what do the actions need to be?
Make my plan, follow my plan, assess my plan. And then the other thing probably is listening to more videos and stuff, because that was the precursor to the slip, was not staying in the soup of the PNP, you know?
Yeah. You pretty much hid from it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. In order to make plans and follow plans, how do you have to feel?
Committed.
Committed.
With a goal.
This can be set goal. You can have set goal down here in your action line.
Okay.
Okay. So you've gone off plan, but you want to get back on plan. The feeling is committed. What is the thought? What is that magic thought that's going to create committed that ends you back up on plan?
I'm going to start to cry. The thing I can think of is I don't quit on myself.
Yes. Yes. I don't quit on myself. So you had an off plan eat. You do a recovery worksheet, you figure it out, and you don't quit on yourself. Right.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate having you model this out for me, as well as telling me the starting point is realistic planning.
It always is. I think one of the biggest mistakes we make when we, you know, let's say we disappear for a week, you know, and we binge out for a week, or we ignore what our body needs for a week is, or a month or whatever, is we think we just step right back into where we were. And sometimes we don't. Sometimes we have to give ourselves enough compassion to stay, okay, the most important thing for me to do right now is to recommit to myself. And the most important, easiest way to do that is a realistic plan. I can work my way back up to wherever I was, but I have to have enough compassion for myself and give myself enough grace to start here and work my way back in.
Okay.
It's just like, think about if you decide to run a marathon.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You ran one 20 years ago, but I think I'm going to run another one. You don't start out by running 16 miles. You start out by running that first mile. You have to meet yourself where you are and where your body is and where your brain is today in order to work your way back up. And it's absolutely okay to do that. In fact, that's the right thing to do.
Okay.
Make sense?
Yep. Thank you so much, Kathy.
You are very welcome.
I'll see you whenever she changes her mind again.
Well, you know, there's always vacation, right?
Okay.
Take care.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
All right. Julie, you're next. Handwriting's not great, is it, y'all? Let's see if Julie's coming on. Yep, there she is. Hi there. Oh, I can't hear you yet. Hang on. Now talk.
Now. Okay, can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am. Got it.
All right. Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I am well, thank you.
What's up?
I am a September baby. Mm-hmm. I am having great success.
Awesome.
I've lost 15 pounds. I'm really happy about that, but there's like mental stuff that I still really want to work on in life in general.
Mm-hmm.
I have a hobby of competitive stair climbing. And so I'm going into a season of stair climbing, and I had a really hard season last year. And so I promised my husband that if I signed up for all these climbs and traveled and all the expense of that I wouldn't waste time and money, and I would train and like make it worth my while. And subsequently I joined PMP, and I'm really excited about the possibilities, but I feel really debilitated kind of by fear. So I haven't really been going to the gym, or I keep saying I will, but then I don't. I have taken some walks and things like that, which I'm happy that I'm moving some, but I need to get out of my head. And for some reason I feel stuck.
What are you afraid of?
I'm being the fat girl in the stairwell. And I know that sounds really harsh, but my last couple of climbs, like, I had noticed people would wait to be at the finish line to specifically congratulate me. And I realized, like, oftentimes there's a live feed. And so all these athletes that go up in 5 seconds, you know, wait around and high five people. And I get kind of a lot of attention because of my size and being willing to go up the stairs. But at the same time, it's really embarrassing and nerve wracking, and it draws a whole bunch of attention. And when you realize there's an auditorium full of climbers watching the live feed, and then you're struggling as much as I sometimes struggle, there's something about that that feels really debilitating to me now more than ever.
Why? Why is it debilitating?
I just don't like that much attention.
Why?
I prefer like being in the background. Like,
why?
I don't know.
I think you're judging yourself. You're concerned that everyone else is judging you, watching the fat girl in the stairwell, because you're judging yourself as the fat girl in the stairwell.
Yeah, that's valid.
Yeah. So here's how I know this. Back when I ran more, actually I haven't run at all, so I'll just say when I ran.
Okay.
My husband would run, and our friends David and Kim. We would all go out and run together. Guess who was the slowest? Every single time, all the time, by a lot. Okay. Because I have these knees, right? That they just hurt. And cardiovascularly, I'm just not very strong. And I would be really upset all the time at being the last of the four in every single race, every single run. You know, they'd say, oh, we'll run with you. I'm like, oh, no, don't run with me. That would be even worse, because then, you know, they're not doing their best because I got to take care of the slow girl. All the chatter. Then I decided, I did this for years. I mean, I probably ran for 3 or 4 years. And I finally decided, you know, one time I came across the finish line, and David, who is like speed demon, I mean, he could not run for 6 months and then run a 9-minute mile or something silly. He had a video of me crossing the finish line. Nobody else had a video crossing the finish line because I was the last one. They were all waiting for me and doing the video, right? That was kind of cool. And then I started thinking, you know what? I've got a cheering section. David doesn't have a cheering section. He's the first one across. I have a cheering section. maybe it's okay that I'm just doing my best here. You know, so once I started wrapping my brain around the fact that the only true comparison was to myself and whether or not I was bettering my running, bettering my time, bettering my form, fueling better, then I could really, really draw some self-satisfaction from that. So if you can get out of your own head about people watching you, and you're doing competitive stair climbing because you love it and that's what you want to do, and I can tell that you do because you're smiling and you're nodding.
Yeah, I do. It's pretty cool and different and interesting.
Yeah, it sounds super interesting. You kind of narrow your focus back into how you improve every week, not where you compare to everyone else, because that's not a fair comparison. It's like comparing an apple and a pear, right? And it's not because you weigh this and they weigh that, or you have brown hair and they have blonde hair. It wouldn't matter because my husband weighs more than I do, yet he was faster than I am. Kim weighs less than I do, yet she was faster than I am. It didn't matter who weighed what. What mattered is whether or not I was doing my best and doing my training and showing up and improving my times or figuring out something new that I could try or that I could do to make myself feel good in my competitive, not stair climbing, running.
I understand.
Does that make sense?
Does.
Does that make sense? So what you have to do is you have to look at this thought. Everyone's looking at me. Okay? Everyone is looking at me. And what you're doing is you're labeling this as bad. I don't want everyone looking at me because I'm embarrassed. Right?
Yeah.
Let me ask you a question. If this thought is in Corinne's model, you think it's embarrassed?
No, of course not.
No, it's like, woohoo, everybody's looking at me. Everybody's
yeah,
looking at this girl.
But what if you aren't that person, like, inherently, you know?
She hasn't always been that person inherently.
Okay, that's fair.
Remember, when she was, 16, she attempted suicide. She didn't want anyone looking at her.
Yeah.
But she's decided now that it doesn't matter she probably likes everyone looking at her, honestly.
Right. But I would ladder to it doesn't matter as opposed to liking
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Yeah. Everyone's looking at me. Neutral. Maybe they are and maybe they're not. You know, what if the people doing the high fives at the end, the ones who are waiting for you, are really sincerely happy for you and proud?
Yeah. I mean, I think they are. Yes. I just have labeled it something negative.
You've created the story in your mind that they're all waiting for you because you're heavy. Right?
Yeah, for sure.
What if they're just high-fiving everybody that comes across this finish line? What if they're super proud of you for doing this work and for improving your life, your self-image, your self-worth, your everything? Because you're doing competitive stair climbing, which I think is pretty freaking awesome, to be honest with you. Nice. I would high five you. I'd wait for you and high five you. I'd high five anybody doing competitive stair climbing. I gotta be honest with you.
I guess the ideal would be like a neutral, like I don't, not caring what they think at all. And then also not judging myself. That would be ideal.
But let me ask you this. There's one more question here. Why did you even sign up for this if you didn't want to do competitive stair climbing? You could go climb stairs by yourself all day long.
Well, so yeah, I did it as a goal to work on health and well-being, and I thought it would be really interesting and different, and it's taken me to really unique places, and I've climbed the Space Needle outside. I've climbed One World Trade Center in New York City. Those are pretty behind the scenes, cool places. And it's something that's really unusual. And my brain needs both stimulus.
Yeah. So when you're thinking everybody's looking at me, why aren't you thinking, and that's okay because I'm doing what I love?
I don't know. I think it's maybe bigger than that. Like, that's just the sense I have about everything in life. Like, I don't prefer attention in that way. Like, I love to be a behind the scenes, get stuff done person, but then not necessarily the out in front getting attention for what I got done person.
Do you like attaboys?
Privately, yeah. I'm not really big on public ones, though.
Why not? Why not?
I feel embarrassed.
Why?
It's sort of because I know when I do a good job, I don't necessarily need like the universe to acknowledge that.
Why not?
I don't know. Because
does it go back to the same thought about the stair climbing and the high fives at the end?
Maybe, yeah.
Let me
maybe
ask you this. If you weighed 140 pounds and you're in a size 6 pants, would you feel the same way?
I don't know. Maybe not. I don't think so.
Yeah.
I think there's something about like, it's an automatic failure because I'm doing successful things and being fat at the same time.
And that's a big thought too. I don't know how many people on this call. I bet everyone is astounded that someone on this call does competitive stair climbing, regardless of weight.
Thank you. But I think everyone has something really awesome about them. We just don't all get it highlighted.
The issue with you, though, is that your self-image could use a little bit of work.
Okay. Yeah. I appreciate that.
Yeah. Your own self-talk could use a little bit of work. When did you say you joined? September?
September.
Do you have an accountability group?
I do, but we're all September.
That's not a problem. What are you working on right now?
The holiday stuff.
The holiday stuff?
Planning for the holidays. And one of our accountability group is running a half marathon in Las Vegas this weekend.
Oh, so that's amazing.
Yeah. Right.
So do you have time? Do you have time to work in another bonus course if I give you an assignment?
Yes.
Okay. Here's what I want you to do. And anyone who has issues with self-love or self-image can do this work. It's amazing. Ask Angela Treme. It's amazing work. I want you to work the self-love journal prompts. There's 30 of them.
Okay.
I want you to do one a day, and I want you to read your answer to your accountability group.
Okay.
On Marco Polo. Okay. Here's why. There is something very solidifying, I don't even know the right word to use, powerful about hearing yourself read those prompts, because they're very artfully written, you know, and they build very specifically. And by the end of the 30 days, if you have done all the prompts and you've read them, there's a change that happens in your mind about yourself and about how you feel about yourself. And I think it would be a super good exercise for you to do.
Thank you. I'll do it.
Okay.
I appreciate your support.
You're very welcome. What's your first event?
The Stratosphere in Las Vegas.
So my husband jumped off the Stratosphere. He didn't climb up it, but he did that.
See, I couldn't jump thing. I couldn't jump it, but I'm willing to climb the stairs.
Yeah. So that's pretty amazing. That's pretty amazing. Enjoy it. Have fun.
Thank you.
Go to the gym. Do your work. When you start to feel uncomfortable, ask yourself, is this really what I want to feel right now?
I will. Thank you.
All right. Somebody wants to know where to find the self-love prompts. If you go to pmptribe.com, bonus courses, self-love, open it up, and they're in the workbook.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Take care.
Okay. Bye-bye. Bye.
Thea, you're next. And she's the only one with her hand raised, y'all.
Hello?
Well, trying to get your video started here. Hi.
Hi. This is my first time.
Welcome. What do you want to work on?
I'm September.
Mm-hmm.
So I started following PMP in April, and sorry, I'm gonna get choked up.
It's okay.
So I dropped 37 pounds as a groupie.
Okay.
And I joined in September. So then I didn't really feel overwhelmed, but I was like, okay, so now what? Kind of question. I'm still like doing the planning, mm-hmm. and assisting, but I did notice that every 10 to 12 weeks, I do like a big gain.
Okay.
And then I will take a while to get back in the group. And then I noticed that when I was on those gains, I wasn't planning. So it's like, mm-hmm. I would feel like very comfortable, and I would just say I was just too busy to do it. And so I kind of, I noticed that, and I brought it in, and mm-hmm. like, I'm doing better with that. But for some reason, I can't seem to bring myself to do a recovery worksheet.
Why not? And
I don't know. I just, I read through their questions, and I was just like, I don't know. I don't know these answers. And then I'm like, well, I've got to know them, but I don't understand, maybe.
All right. Tell me the last time you had an overeat or an off-plan eat.
Probably this week is a huge one last week, because I'm like right back on it. It's like almost every single day I was.
Tell me about one day. Tell me all the things about one day, one overeat, what you ate, what was going on, all the things.
Okay. So to start out the day, I couldn't stay out of the candy bowl.
At work. Okay. You're at work.
At work.
And there's a candy bowl. What was going on at work? What were you thinking at the time? My boss is a jackass. I hate my coworkers. What were you thinking?
I don't want to be here, maybe.
Okay.
Which is weird because I love my job, but for some reason, you know, I didn't want to be there.
Okay. You didn't want to be there. So you went to the candy bowl.
Yes.
And several times. Okay. Go ahead.
And then I wasn't hungry for lunch because I ate out of the candy bowl. So therefore I ate my lunch. So I felt like that was.
All right. So let's talk about the lunch. Why did you eat the lunch even though you weren't hungry? Because that would be considered an overeat, right?
Right. That's what I was thinking. That's why I overate, because I ate my lunch.
Okay. So why did you eat it anyway?
Because it was there.
Because
I'm supposed to.
Because I'm supposed to. Okay.
But I think I heard that in the podcast the other day. Is something about that. I don't know. Yeah, because it was time.
Because it was time. Okay. Hang on. Okay.
That's the only thing I can think of.
All right. So in the 2-minute drill recovery worksheet, first thing you do is you write down exactly what happened. So you went to the candy bowl and then you ate lunch. So you have an off-plan eat and an overeat. Okay, you ate how many pieces of candy? How many?
Probably like 15 pieces of.
Okay. And then you, what'd you have for lunch?
I had, I home make my Lunchables. So I have like chicken and tomatoes and broccoli and cheese in a bowl. And I just.
Sounds delicious. Okay. Very good. So if you were to name the feeling that led to the candy, what were you feeling? Bored, tired.
Probably bored.
Bored?
Probably bored.
Okay, because you didn't want to be there. You were kind of bored, right?
Right. Right.
And the excuse was, I don't want to be here. When you went to the candy bowl, did you have any kind of, I really shouldn't do this, or did you just dive in? Any kind of thoughts?
Resistance? Normally I do. Mm-hmm. I will be like, well, that's not worth it. It's not on my plan. Mm-hmm. I don't do this to myself anymore. Mm-hmm. I usually tell myself this all the time. That's probably like white knuckling.
Yeah. Yeah. That's exactly what it is. Mm-hmm. And then
I was just like, I just did it. I didn't have those.
Okay. So there was no resistance thought, no white knuckling. You just dove in and that's okay. All right. So as you were thinking, I really don't want to be here. I'm bored. And you're standing at the candy bowl. In a perfect world, what could you have done instead? If you had your best interests in mind, what could you have done instead?
Probably took out my lunch and had it then.
Okay. Were you hungry?
No, so that's not the best thing.
Maybe you could have inserted one of those thoughts you talked about. I don't do this to myself anymore. I don't eat when I'm bored. I'm just aggravated and I see that I'm not really hungry. Whatever it is, right? That's what you could have thought differently.
Right.
So basically, you just did a recovery worksheet. Super basically, that's all it is. It's taking a look without judging what you did, taking a look at the overeat or the off-plan eat, really thinking about if eating was in your action line, eating out of the candy bowl, what you did was you identified the thought and the feeling that led to your eating. And then you looked at it and said, if I find myself there again, what would I do differently? And you made a plan for the next time. That's all a recovery worksheet is.
Okay.
It's a super good tool to see your patterns. Let's say, how many times do you think in the past month you've eaten out of the candy bowl? Estimate. 5, 10.
How many weeks? 1. How many days of that week? 5.
Okay, so 5. You would have 5 recovery worksheets, and you'd be able to look at all 5. You could spread them out on your desk, look at all 5, and see what patterns you saw. And if you always ate out of the candy bowl when you were bored, you'd know you need a plan for boredom at work to stay out of the candy bowl.
Yes.
That's the beauty of the recovery worksheet, is to just go ahead and document why you eat off plan or you overeat so that you have the data to review so that you can create a plan for success in that situation. That's all it is. And seriously, this little 2-minute drill that I do seriously takes about 2 minutes. And it's, I pretty much walked you through the best of the most of the questions.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I just need to come up with some kind of like protocol of when I'm bored.
If that's your trend, yeah.
Yeah.
If that's your trend. So what do you think you could do? If you're bored at work and you find yourself wanting to go to the candy bowl, What might you try?
Going for a walk, mm-hmm. like walkabout. I used to chew gum a lot, but I don't do that hardly anymore. I don't know.
This is where you put your brain to work on when I'm bored at work. What could I do to that doesn't require candy? You know, maybe it's organize the files or,
you
know, client or, you know what I'm saying? I don't know.
I have lots of work to do, so I shouldn't be bored at work.
Oh, you're just bored with the work. There's plenty to do.
Yeah.
Is it bored or is it overwhelmed?
Is there a difference?
Mm-hmm. If you're overwhelmed, you have a thought like, I have so much to do, I don't know when I'll get it all done, that kind of thing. If you're bored, it's like, I really don't want to do this work. This is boring. This is
maybe overwhelmed. Mm-hmm. So many things to do all at the same time. I usually have to make a checklist and just work on one thing at a time because that's the only way things get done.
So when overwhelm is in your feelings line, you have to move to action, or you're going to eat, or you're going to buffer, or you're going to distract yourself from what you need to be doing. So making a checklist, organizing your work might be exactly what you need to do to stay out of the candy bowl. Because if you have a lot to do with a lot of moving parts,
mm-hmm.
bringing all those moving parts into a checklist would be exactly what you need to do to get yourself out of overwhelm. And then you just start checking the things off one by one.
Right.
That's what recovery worksheets reveal to you. Is what you were, and you really, really need to do them as close to the time that you eat off plan or overeat, so that you can recall exactly what you were thinking and feeling. That's the best data you're going to have.
Okay.
Okay.
We'll do that.
Yeah. I would go ahead seriously and print out 15 or 20 of them. Just have them somewhere. You know, do you carry your planner to work with?
Yes. I actually printed it off as booklet so that way it fits right in my purse.
Yeah. Yeah. So print off a few recovery worksheets, pop them in your purse, and next time you do that, they're not a punishment. This is the big thing. You probably avoided them because you saw them as extra work, something to do because I was bad, a punishment or something like that. That's not the point of the recovery worksheet. It's all about helping you uncover what's causing you to go off plan or what's causing you to overeat, what thought and feeling are there so that you can go to work on them.
That's right.
All it's about.
And I think the reason why I noticed that, you know, I was like, I really need to get on a call because somebody at work, they were like, oh, so how much have you lost already? And I'm like, well, I think I'm done for the year. It'll probably start back up after the holidays. And then on my way home from work, I was like, why did I even put myself up for that? That's just crazy talk.
Why would you be done for the year?
Probably because I was in and out of the candy bowl so much.
Yeah, so you could give yourself permission to keep eating.
Yeah.
Right?
So it's right. And so I'm like yelling at myself, no, that's not what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah.
Yeah. So your next level work, while you're planning and following your hunger scale and drinking your water and doing your sleep, is to do your recovery worksheets. I'm telling you. I do them. Betsy does them. Mary Jo does them. We all do them. Corinne does them.
Right.
They're going to overeat. I was just helping, I'm helping Corinne pull together some stuff for the new No BS program that's going to release in January. And one of the lessons is all about mistakes and how we all make them, and about even when you're in maintenance, you're not going to be perfect. So all the problems don't solve, you know, just because you lose weight or because you are losing weight, you still have work to do. You still have recovery worksheets to do. You still have things to learn about yourself, and it's okay. That's really ultimately what we want, is to continue to up-level our lives, right? Everybody right. wants a better life all the time. So you just got to work on it a little bit. It's not, and it's not even hard work.
Yeah.
Make sense?
Yes. Crystal.
All right. Get on it. You're very welcome.
Bye.
Bye. Kathy, you're next. Hello.
Can you see me?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, good.
How are you?
I'm nervous.
Why?
I'm a January kid.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been with the tribe since January. I've lost 57 pounds.
That's awesome.
And in January is when I found PNP, because I was looking for help dealing with my son, my adult son. Mm-hmm. And that's why handling the holidays is huge for me, because I'm just dreading them. I'm just dreading it. He's in a halfway house right now.
Okay.
He says he's going to get his child and he's going to be up here with us. I haven't talked to him since last Christmas when he left. And so I get a text message from him that he's coming and he's bringing Jackson, when I say it's his son, but it's my grandson, my 8-year-old grandson. Mm-hmm. And every time I deal with Jonathan, it just seems like there's a lot of chaos, a lot of, I'm not sure what he wants. I'm not sure what he wants after having no contact or anything. If he expects turkey and family gathering, and are we supposed to go same 2, 4, and 6, or I just don't understand what I need.
Have you asked him?
He has not called. I can call him. Mm-hmm. I don't have no answer.
Mm-hmm. But he's coming. So why not ask him what he wants?
I should do that.
Yeah.
Why am I not doing that?
Why aren't you doing that?
Why aren't I doing it? Because I don't want to invite the chaos. I think I'm protecting myself.
You're protecting yourself from?
The hurt.
Oh, it's not the chaos.
It's hurt from
the hurt.
I don't know. And I said I was going to come up here and say I don't know.
Okay.
I just don't.
Let's do this. What's his name? Jonathan?
Yes.
And when is he coming? For Christmas? Thanksgiving. Okay. You're feeling hurt. You're worried. Tell me about the hurt. You're worried you're going to feel hurt.
I'm worried that I'll see Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll be under a lot of strain. And it'll be like we're going to have to do... Because he's only, I haven't seen Jackson in 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to lay out all the stuff. I want to, like, we want to do everything there is to do, right?
Okay.
What if he doesn't give me those days? What happens? I just need to talk to him, I guess.
Yes. What you're doing here is you're anticipating the worst. Okay. That's what you're doing. You're disaster planning.
Yep, you're right. I am.
Mm-hmm. So in order to stop disaster planning, you need to do one of two things. You either need to decide that whatever happens is okay, or you need to just call him up and say, hey, can we have a plan? I have some ideas. Or text him. You know, whichever, you know, if you guys are in a text conversation. So, you know, what is this visit going to look like? I'd like to plan.
Yeah.
Okay. Or you say, hey, Jonathan, I'm looking forward to you coming. I want to be sure I have plenty of time with Jackson now. How much time can I anticipate? But you have to be willing to take this chance in order to make that. You're hurting now.
Yeah.
Okay. So calling him and getting a little framework or telling him you'd like to have a little framework isn't going to create this because you're there now. You're hurting yourself. He hasn't done anything but texted you and said, hey, I'm coming. I'm bringing the kid. Right? Wouldn't you rather feel excited here?
I would, Kathy. I would love to.
Yeah. You get to choose that. But you have to stop, you know, creating the hurt. You know, your thought is
the past. Everything that happened previous. Yeah, I know.
He's going to bring chaos.
Chaos.
Okay, we'll just go there. He's going to bring chaos.
And I don't
hurt. What do you do when you hurt? You disconnect.
Disconnect.
Right? And you cry. And you worry. Whoops. You just spell worry correctly because it's important. And the result you create is your own chaos.
Yes.
Right? This is the model you're in right now.
Yeah. Yes, it is.
Okay. So just for fun, we're going to build an intentional model. It's not going to be beautiful and unicorns and roses and daisies and all the stuff. But we're going to put text. Jonathan, ask for plans. Or tell him what the plan is. You could do that too. But I'm guessing you'd rather just ask him what his plan is. Right?
I have his history with him. Whenever I ask, he asks for help in doing his plan. That's been my history.
All right. What's the problem with that? That means you're in the driver's seat.
Okay.
Right? Is that a problem?
I don't want to be responsible for chaos that he's gonna bring.
But you're not responsible for his chaos. He is.
Right. Yeah, I can ask for plans. I can do that.
Okay. So he says, all right, Mom. I don't really know. What do you want me to do? Then you get to say, I want you here on Friday and Saturday, and then you can head home on Sunday. Or whatever. You get to tell him. Then he gets to decide whether he agrees. It's going to be a negotiation, and that's okay. So in order to text him and begin the discussion about holiday plans, how do you have to feel?
I'd feel good if I could just be happy about it. I would greatly...
Well, you're not happy yet. How about open?
Open.
How about
willing?
Willing. Yes.
Okay, we'll go then. Willing. Yeah.
Willing. Okay. Are you willing to accept a little bit of chaos in order to get to spend time with Jackson?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. So if you're willing and you text him, what thought do you think you need to have about him coming to town that creates willing to open your house, willing to text him, willing to create plans, willing to see Jackson, willing to accept chaos? What thought do you need?
Love.
Well, that's a feeling. You think you need to feel love, sure. But in order to be willing to have all this go on in your life,
I'm open.
Yeah.
I'm open to Jonathan and Jackson coming to their Thanksgiving.
I'm open to them coming. Okay. I'm open to whatever they bring with them.
Yes.
Right? Whether it's chaos or toys or whatever it is, right? And you're smiling when you say this.
Because I think of Jackson.
Yeah. Yeah. Look how excited you are. Maybe your thought can be seeing Jackson is worth a little chaos.
Yeah, it would be.
Yeah. So then you're willing. So you text him and you ask him for plans. And the result is that you begin opening your mind to his visit. That's what I would say. Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
So is seeing Jackson worth a little bit of chaos?
Yes, because I haven't seen him in 2 years. Yes. Mm-hmm.
And why is it worth it to you?
He's my grandson and he's at this age, but that there's so much fun. And we have not really experienced much because he's been absent.
Mm-hmm. Because you love him, because you want to be part of his life, because you're excited about seeing him.
Yeah.
Because you have a lot of love to give. I would offer that there's probably a little part of you also excited to see Jonathan because you have a lot of love to give him as well. Yeah. Is that true?
I do love him. Mm-hmm. I've given all I can to him. He's a grown man.
You can still give him love. You don't have to give him money. Or clothes or whatever. Because I bet even if he weren't coming for Thanksgiving, you would still love him.
I'm not taking him to Chuck E. Cheese, Kathy. I'm not taking him to Chuck E. Cheese.
Drawing the line at Chuck E. Cheese. I don't blame you. I'm with you on that one. Yeah, I always hated Chuck E. Cheese.
It is what it is, I guess.
Oh, do we need to do a model on Jonathan?
I'm sure I do, but I don't know if I can do it tonight. But I'm sure I could come back.
Yeah, you can. You can come back. Betsy will be here next Wednesday, and I'm sure she would work with it on you. I think what you're where we're leaving you right now is all this is worth it because Jackson is coming.
Yeah.
But I think it would do you some good. To do some work on seeing Jonathan again, given whatever you thoughts you have about where he is now and how he got there and what you have in your heart to give him, what you want to give him personally, what how much emotional energy you want to give him.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. So if I were you, I would write about this and I would cry about it. I'd get it all out and on paper. Cause what's happening right now is the more you keep it in your head, if you think about a spider web, it's just getting bigger and thicker and more clouded in your head. If you thought download about it and you thought download about it every single day, the real cream will rise to the top. And what I mean by that is the thoughts that are really, really bothering you will surface. And those are the ones that you can go to work on and put in your models with Betsy or with me in 2 weeks. When are they coming? You don't know yet because you haven't asked. You don't know the plans. You just know they're coming for Thanksgiving.
I know the boy is off from school for Thanksgiving. So it'll be Thanksgiving that week.
Yeah. Okay. So whatever your thoughts are about Jonathan and how much emotional energy you're ready, willing, prepared to give him are going to rise to the top if you write about this, but you have to write about it. You have to get it out of your head and so that you can look at it and figure it out and make some decisions. There are no wrong answers. Okay?
Yeah.
The best answers are the ones that you feel good about. that take care of you first and then take care of your family. Does that help?
Yes, it does. Thank you.
You're welcome. I'm excited for you to get to see that boy.
Me too.
There's nothing better than grandbabies, is there? Do you have others? Do you have other grandchildren?
I have two others, a boy and a girl. They're here. They're only a mile away.
Mm-hmm.
And Jackson lives in North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
He's living with his mother.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why we're not really close with them, because they're physically far away. And his dad's been out of commission, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So we're going to see how this works. We're going to try it on, see what works.
Okay.
It's tricky putting your family back together.
That's a thought.
Yeah, it's true.
You could make it super easy. You could make it super hard.
Yeah, I'm going to work through this, and this is going to be super easy.
Mm-hmm. I want you to thought download for a few days and then pop in to Ask Coaches and let me know how you are. Okay?
Thank you.
All right. You take care. All right. Bye. Okay, we got a couple of questions, then we'll get out of here. Let's see. Good evening, Kathy. Is the Recovery Lab on this Thursday evening? When we bring our trigger food, or mixing this up? No, Gail, you are exactly right. Thursday night, tomorrow night, 5 p.m. Central, Corinne is doing her first recovery worksheet lab. So this is not teaching you how to do a recovery worksheet. This is helping you process recovery worksheets. So what you do is you bring your worksheets to the lab, and she will help you work through them. She is also asking everyone to bring their urge food, their binge food, urge food. I will tell you, I have my favorite thick stout beer downstairs that I am not just going to stand on my desk here. I'm going to pour it into a glass and sit with that. So I am participating too. This is going to be super interesting to me too. So yes, it is tomorrow night, Thursday night at 5 p.m. Bring your urge food. Where's my calendar? Okay. Jay Lopez needs help stopping overeats. I need more information than that. I need some help with weekend eating. Okay, that helps. I want you to create a realistic weekend plan. Realistic weekend plan. It's not your weekend plans. Many, many times are not going to look like your weekday plans. Weekdays tend to be, for those of us like who work, who go to school or whatever, we have very, you know, we have pretty rigid schedules on the weekends, weekdays. We've done a lot of food prep. We know what's in the fridge. Weekends come and automatically our brains think it's time to relax. We should just, you know, check out. We can have a treat. It's the weekend. We worked hard all week. You watch for those thoughts. You make a different weekend plan. You meet yourself where you are. You plan to eat out. You plan your meals that are, you know, meals that you wouldn't normally eat through the week. And you commit to the plan. That's how you really, really focus in on your weekend eating. You have to create a realistic weekend plan. Tasha, can and should we put that urge food on your plan? I would, you know, just in case, you know, you decide to have it. It would be, I'm going to put mine on my plan just in case. I don't have to drink it or eat it. Case you don't eat beer. But yeah, I would put it on your plane. Any other questions? If there is nothing else, I don't see any more hands raised. I don't see any other questions. I will probably let you go. Let's go over the calendar real quick for the rest of the week. We talked about the recovery worksheet lab. Big, big change for this weekend only. Corinne's normal Sunday Zoom call is going to take place on Saturday this week. So Saturday noon to about 1:30 probably, she'll be doing weekly planning. She's going to tell you all about how she creates her weekly plan and her office hours Zoom. So that will be noon on Saturday, November 16th this week. Also, on Saturday, November 16th at 10 a.m., Corinne and I are doing a joint Zoom call, which ought to be really interesting. If you listen to us on the podcast, this ought to be interesting, about the Transformation Weekend, Transforming Relationships Weekend that's coming up in March. Y'all, I'm so excited. I get to teach. I get to teach in an event. I get to coach in an event. And we're going to tell you all about this super cool special weekend that we are putting together for you. Registration is open now. So we'll be, if you have any questions about it, you want to hear the schedule, we have something very special planned. If you come to, we will tell you all about it. If you'll come to the Zoom at 10 a.m. Central, November 16th. Then next week, Corinne and I are in coach training. And Coach Betsy will be doing most of the calls. It's all on the calendar. You'll find it there on pmptribe.com. If you go to the training calendar, you'll find the whole schedule. All right, you guys, have a great rest of your day. And I will see you all later. Okay, bye.